It's Bears week. That means we have to talk about kind of the elephant in the room, that it might be a trap game. We also have You Betcha with some grambles and, of course, your bold predictions here on the Locked On Vikings podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome into the Locked On Vikings podcast. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. Find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Still coming to you a little bit more lo-fi from the hotel in Sweden where I'm staying right now. This will be the last one like this after the Bears game. I'll be back home, back to the normal setup, looking normal, sounding normal, but please bear with me for now. Today's show is previewing the Chicago Bears game. The Vikings have a game against one of the worst 2-2 teams in a league filled with 2-2 teams, I guess maybe that's a way to say it. Don't take my word for it, too. I mean, just look at where the Bears are. They're really, right now, is the word I see in a lot of Bears media. They're having a really, really tough time with the loss they just suffered against the New York Giants and how that game went down, and especially what you kind of saw from Justin Fields. The read optional is a Substack that I really, really like. It strongly recommend. Has a great write-up about the kind of concerning things about Justin Fields that game show. So I want to talk a little bit about this. I want to talk a little bit about, of course, some like predictions and grambles and stuff, but all of those grambles will be found via BetOnline. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So let's start with the idea. I mean, the Bears came in with really, really, really low expectations. They are 2-2 with a fairly weird way of getting there. That weird rain game, losing to the Giants, getting shellacked by the Packers. Like, their 2-2 is not strong. I don't think any Bears fans would say that it is. But I've seen something, and I don't really like this. I've seen people say, like, trap game. I've seen the words trap game thrown around. And I kind of wanted to talk about, like, are the Bears a trap game? The answer to that will be no. This is not a trap game. For me, a trap game needs to be a much better team than the Vikings. Like, it needs to be a true, like, elite of elite contender. The Vikings are in second place in the NFC right now because of, like, tiebreakers and stuff. But I think we can all agree the last two games weren't exactly convincing in terms of, like, how good the Vikings are. It's not like they're having a start like the Eagles are having, right? Like, the Eagles could get a trap game if they run into, like, they could go play the Giants in New York. I would call that a trap game. Well, I guess the Giants are 3-1. Washington, right? They'll go play Washington. Maybe that kind of thing would be a trap game, which I'm pretty sure they just beat Washington a couple weeks ago. But you know what I'm getting at, right? But, like, that could be, you know, the elite Eagles that are flying away, and they're, like, the contenders of the NFC versus some lowly team that looks like it's going to be drafting top five. Like, I need that extreme. And the way I like to think about that is what the line is. And the line right now, as I look at it on BetOnline, it actually just moved from 7 to 7.5. So Vikings favored by 7.5. That hook point's actually really important for gambling, right? Because a 7-point win was a push. Now it's not. But I need it to be a double-digit spread to be able to call it a trap game, right? You know, 2018 Vikings-Bills, that was a trap game, right? That Bills team ended up winning, like, 4 games that year, and everybody knew they would be bad because they were in a rebuild, and the Vikings were coming off this crazy tie. That's the other thing that needs to happen with a trap game. You need to be coming off a particularly major win or major moment, really emotional. Going and winning on a last-second double doink in London, like, that could be. So maybe I would give it that, but it's just the Vikings aren't quite that much better than the Bears. 7.5 means that on a neutral field, the Vikings would be 4.5-point favorites, and then plus the 3 for home field. That's not Vegas saying that the Vikings are going to blow these guys out. And I think that's probably appropriate. As much as the Bears are struggling on offense, their defense has played very well. Their front has played very well. And there's a lot more stuff on that side of the ball for the Bears to hang their hat on, which is going to inform some of my grambles, some of my you betcha stuff. But the point is, there is a path for the Bears to win this game. And that's what the Vikings have to avoid, this path of, you know, this grindy game. You don't want this to be the kind of thing that ends, you know, 16-6. The Vikings need to find one pitch that works on offense. And then on defense, I think they just need to wait for that Bears offense to make mistakes and they need to be able to cover up their own mistakes at least as adequately or more adequately than the Bears can. And I believe that as much as the Vikings defense has struggled, the Bears offense has struggled more. So I would probably foresee that that happens, that the defense isn't going to give, you know, career high days to Justin Fields or whatever. But there still will be enough mistakes where I don't think you can get away winning this game 13 by only scoring 13 on offense. The offense has to find something. And if they can do that, then they can do that. I'll tell you right now, I am going to pick the Vikings to win and cover. I'm going to do it a little weird in the rambling. We'll get to it. But I do think the Vikings can win and cover this 7-point spread because I'm that low on the Bears. But that's not me saying like, they're going to win by 30. It's a guarantee. I'm not like talk smack. I'm not doing any of that. I do think that there is a world where this game grinds to a screeching halt. It's a one-score game for the whole time because it's 9-3 by the end of the third quarter because both offenses are totally falling apart and things aren't working. And then suddenly you have a 2-minute drill at the end of the game and it comes down to who has the game left. Somebody wins 10-9. Like, there is that world where it's this really low scoring, totally excruciating contest, and the Bears can win that game. And that's the game we need to make sure that this isn't. And that means the offense has to get something going. And then whether or not the defense can limit its mistakes and avoid giving a get right game to a struggling offense. Kind of like what they did to the Saints. Like, the Saints got 3 touchdowns. Andy Dalton almost threw for 300. And backup quarterback. They kind of gave him a get right. They got a little momentum going, the Saints did. And I don't want to give that to the Bears. But, like, if they can avoid that, avoid letting them get in their rhythm, letting them find their identity that they've struggled so hard to find, like, don't let this be the week, then I think, you know, the offense doesn't exactly have to put up 35 to win this game, right? That's where it's at. You just have to make sure it's not like that kind of day. Over-under's at 44.5, which I think is completely ridiculous. But we'll get to all of that stuff later. First, I want to talk to you about Simply Safe. That is a lot more important than you think. I'll go with ne'er-do-well, is going to be trying to get in. They got a sports analogy here. When it comes to burglars, your home is like the end zone. And you need the best defense you can muster, right? No holes in the zone here. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe's agents call you the moment the threat is detected and dispatch police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home or you can't be reached. And it blankets your home in protection with advanced sensors and HD security cameras that have smarter ways to detect motion. So they only alert you when the threat is real, not just like a critter running around outside. And they even have hazard sensors that instantly detect fires or floods or other threats to your home. Their monitoring experts use proprietary advanced response technology to visually confirm when a break-in is real, so you get the highest priority police dispatch. So customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/LockedOnNFL. That's SimpliSafe.com/LockedOnNFL. Save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system when you sign up for an interactive monitoring plan and get your first month free. Just visit SimpliSafe.com/LockedOnNFL to learn more. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. All right, let's move on to the You Betcha part of this Friday episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, which means I've gone out and found some prop bets, some grambles that I think I like. I went 3-1 last time, which was pretty good. I had the Saints going over 20.5. We got that. Justin Jefferson over 6.5 receptions. We got that. And the game itself going over 43.5. I always thought that game was going to have more scoring than the bets thought. I also had a KJ Osborne over that did not hit. So I went 3-4. I'll take that. Got 4 of them for this time, and I'll start again under 44.5. This just feels like, I think the betting markets have overrated the Vikings offense, and I think while the Vikings defense has struggled, I think they're also overrating the Bears offense. I just think both offenses are a little bit overrated on this one. And even though the Bears scoring over under is 17.5, which is like as low as an over under gets in Vegas, the Vikings 26.5 doesn't like line up with their point spread so much. So I kind of think that there's a little bit of something going weird with the betting markets. And I think that is an inefficiency we can take advantage of. And I like the under in this game. I'm going to stick with some unders here. I've got Dalvin Cook under 78.5. He has cleared that two of the four games, so you would think, like, that's probably right in the right range for Dalvin Cook. But I think that shoulder harness is going to be an issue for him all season. And the Vikings, I want to say it was Ben Gessling, it might have been Kevin Seifert, somebody started noting in the middle of the Saints game on Twitter that Dalvin Cook came off for every third down. Every third down, it was always Alexander Mattison. So there's just going to be that much less meat on the bone for him. You know, in third and three, third and two situations, he might not be the one getting the ball. And I kind of feel like with that injury, they're going to keep doing that. So that's one way to kind of backdoor into an under 78.5. But also, the Bears just have a really good rush defense. And they have – or no, they have a really bad rush defense, a really good pass defense. My bad. So that might be a reason that we might not feel as confident in this, but I also feel like Kevin O'Connell is not the kind of coach to say they have a bad rush defense, let's just run at them. I don't think he's approaching games that way. Now, we haven't really seen that yet. We kind of saw it against the Lions, what they would do, and I don't think they had any like crazy volume stuff go on in that Lions game, but it was a similar matchup. But yeah, I just don't really read that. I mean, if it were Mike Zimmer, I would say, oh yeah, he's going to run this dude 35 times. You know, like, it would be great. But I don't think Kevin O'Connell's going to do that. So when it comes to like a volume thing, and these over-unders are as much volume predictions as they are like quality predictions, I see Cook getting not that many carries. Not enough to get 78.5 unless he like breaks one crazy, which I guess is possible. But that, I'm still taking it under there. I'm also taking Fields under 161.5 passing. He has averaged like 117 yards a game. So this is way over his season average. There are a lot of games where Justin Fields just falls apart. But indoor game in US Bank Stadium, right? We've had some weird weather stuff. We've had the thing is, Fields like hasn't very often cleared 161. And again, I think this could be a lower scoring game. With what I hope is the Vikings get out to a lead and start grinding, which would kill my Dalvin Cook under. But that's okay. Maybe Madison gets a lot more carries because again, they might have Cook on a pitch count. But I just think like I see a world where Justin Fields does clear like 200 yards passing or whatever, but his average is so much lower than this over under that I kind of feel like I just can't responsibly say over for it. But here's the play that I think I like the most. It's a bet online thing, and it's the little win, which they have. It's part of their like game props. They have like big win, little win, and it's a sort of a separate prop where instead of taking the betting line, you can say, I think this team will win by 13 points or less, or I think this team will win by 14 points or more. So if you just think they're going to blow them out, you can go bet the big win. And it's a more specific outcome. So like I had, so it's going to be plus odds. So it's plus 135 for the Vikings to win by between 1 and 13 points. So it kind of gives me a bigger spread to work with and a bigger like range of outcomes. And I can sort of see this going a lot of different ways. But for this, you know, the Vikings have to win. They don't have to cover. They can win by 3, and I still win my bet. They just can't blow out the Bears. Divisional opponents are always a little feistier than you would. Like, that's always kind of an equalizer. You know each other. They all know how to play against Brian O'Neill. You know, they've been playing against Garrett Bradbury for years. They've been playing, like, there are people in that organization, and there are plenty of former Vikings in that organization. But it's like, I have the Vikings minus 13 now. Like, that feels a whole lot more... like a whole lot more secure. And the only thing that kills me is that the Vikings win by 14 or more, which I think is an extreme enough scenario where if I end up getting owned on that, I'm okay with it. Also, that would be a fantastic game to watch, so I'm probably not going to be too mad if the Vikings win by like 20, right? So those are my grambles. There's a little counterintuitive, like they're kind of pulling at each other a little bit. But I really like this as an under game. I really like this as like a lower scoring kind of game, which is why I'm not coming out here saying like, gosh, if they don't kill the Bears, I'm going to be so mad. A lot of people are saying that with the trap game thing. Like, these Bears are so bad, they better blow them out. I don't think that needs to be the standard. Every NFL team is good. And it's, you know, the gap between best team and worst team is just so much smaller than what you would see in like college or, and I think in the NBA, or like MLB, like those are bigger gaps. I don't know. Basketball, baseball fans, correct me if I'm wrong about that because I'm way out of my depth there. But I see that this is a game that's going to give the Vikings, I think, more trouble than a lot of fans expect. So just like be prepared for it to be a little ugly. It's always ugly against the Bears. Been ugly against the Bears for years here. Although, you know, no Hakeem Hicks, that always makes it a little bit nicer. Right? Yeah. So we've got bold predictions coming up. But first, all of those lines came from Bet Online. Bet Online is your one-stop shop for all things Grambling. You can find props like that. You can find all kinds of individual player props. You can bet on much more than just Vikings Bears. You can bet on the Thursday night game, which will be over by the time you're listening to this. You can bet on all sorts of other sports, baseball playoffs, whatever, what have you. You can do even betting right in the middle of a game, bet live. So go to betonline.net and you can find all sorts of Grambles. Once again, that is betonline.net, where the game starts. All right. I really want to yell out that it's time to get bold, but the walls of this hotel are thin, and that would be rude. So let's get bold, but, you know, respectfully to our neighbors. This is the Bold Predictions segment. This is a weekly trend where I go over your bold predictions, your spiciest takes. I love it. We have lots of fun here. We'll go over last week's first, and then we will jump into this week's. So last week, the first one came from Skoll Actuary, who said that the teams would complete 70 or more passes between them. I am almost certain that that didn't happen. I'm going to look it up live here, but I'm almost certain we did not get that particular box score thing to happen. Yeah, we had 55 completions. Well, 56 completions, because there was the one to Ryan Wright. But not quite 70. That would have been a pretty intense outcome. Kyle Slaby said that the game would end in a tie, bringing Kirk Cousins to 0-0-2 as international starting QB. I believe that also would have been Andy Dalton's, because Dalton and Kirk Cousins were the starting quarterbacks in that tie. Very funny. Didn't happen. K. Phil said that the combined score of the game would equal the amount of goals that Tottenham Hotspur scored last year. That figure was a very nice, hashtag nice, 69. The combined score did not quite get there, but it got pretty close. We had a very comfortable over on that 43.5. I actually think, 53 was the final, so 10 away from the over-under. Okay, no, not quite, closer to 69. But loved the energy there. King Squeak said that Andy Dalton would gore the Vikings defense so bad it creates a QB controversy in New Orleans. I do not think that there is any more of a QB controversy in New Orleans than there already was. Squeak said that before I saw some stuff come out of New Orleans, some stuff by like Ross Jackson and stuff about like, hey, should maybe they start Andy Dalton? Like, they're all kind of a little bit happy that Jameis Winston like ended up not being able to start in that game. And I think that the Saints actually probably did better. But that was the opinion going into the game, and I don't think that that changed. So I think in spirit, we did not get there. Sketch Mastio said that the sum of all of Greg Joseph's main field goals is more than the amount of Saints QB passing yards. We had 5 Greg Joseph field goals, a missed extra point, which sort of takes the teeth out of this one. But the Saints QBs passed for like 286, I think, was the total. And 181 was the total amount of all of Greg Joseph's made field goal distances. So we would have 286 is insane, right? You would have had 5 50 yarders and then some. And then Coach Simons got crazy close. He said Scrabble edition, players whose last names have consonants appearing twice or more are responsible for all scoring plays. I gave him, we'll take away field goals, because obviously, like Lutz and Joseph, you'd have to have absolutely no kicking, which was a little bit too much. But we got really close otherwise. It was Madison and Jefferson for the Vikings. And then for the Saints, you had Taysom Hill, LL. You had Latavius Murray with the 2 R's. And then Chris Olave ruined it. So Chris Olave was the only one. We were 4 for 5. That one was probably not bold enough in hindsight because of how many players that like that really just kind of took a random field of half of the skill players, or maybe even a little more than half, and said these will be all the scoring players. But still, I loved the energy so much I had to include it, and it got very close. So let's move on to this week's 1991 Ford Tempo enthusiast said that the Bears will become the first team since the 1923 Chicago Cardinals to score exactly 4 points in an NFL game. You're after my own heart, going back to the 20s, and the old Chicago Cardinals, which, if you listen to the history documentary, you can find at patreon.com/BrownNFL. The Chicago Cardinals almost became the Minnesota Vikings back a couple of years before the NFL expanded to Minnesota, but the Chicago Cardinals were, like, looking to move, and I believe they moved to St. Louis, like, not too long after. And there was a little negotiation that kind of almost happened that ended up putting the – sort of making the dominoes fall over that generated the Vikings. A little trivia for you. The exactly 4 points would be very funny. There is a weirder, like, backdoor way to do this where it doesn't have to be two safeties. It could be a pick two. But if the Vikings only have 2 points on the other side, which actually I just realized there's two predictions like this. If you have only 2 points on the other side, you're pretty unlikely to go for two. So it'd have to be like blocked extra point stuff, which could happen, right? But still, very bold. The other one came from Daniel Hagan, who said that the Vikings would win 26-2 in honor of the Chicago Marathon, also taking place on Sunday. I love the 26-2. I love the idea of that. Obviously, again, would be a crazy score. That's almost certainly scoreigami, which, again, probably almost certainly scoreigami the other way, too. Lovely. Great stuff. Nick Kaka says that Justin Jefferson gets more receiving yards than the Bears get total yards. I think the Bears are going to be able to run, so I don't see this one cashing, but hey, if I did, it wouldn't be bold, right? James K says that the number of sacks Fields takes will be equivalent to the yards per attempt surrendered by the Vikings rounded to the nearest integer. And then he gave an example that was like, so if you have, yards per attempt, and I'm going to say passing is what you meant, because you would have said yards per play if you meant like running and passing. That would be yards per play. So I think by yards per attempt you mean passing. So if 4.7 is passing and then the Vikings get 5 sacks, that's how this would cash. It would be pretty tough, because even a bad passing offense would get like 6-ish, and getting 6 sacks would be a lot. I do see there's a kiss on the Venn diagram there where this could happen, where it is around 6, right? Or it's, 6.4 and the Vikings get 6 sacks. But this would be real hard. I would really be happy if you got this one. Legend of Korra says that the Vikings would win by 10 points, but they only pull away in the last few minutes of the game. So I feel like I have to set some parameters for this one, but this is going to be one of those where we can kind of go back and see if we like the vibe of it and if I'm going to give it to you afterwards. But what I'm thinking right now is that the Vikings have to have either a tie or, leading by a point or something, like less than a 3-point margin going into the 2-minute warning. What I'm not going to give you is if the Vikings are up by 3 and then they have the ball, with 4 minutes to go and they do a 4-minute drill that scores a touchdown. I'm not going to give you that. That doesn't feel like it fits the spirit of what you're going for here. You're going for it's a tie game, and then it totally falls apart for the Bears at the end, and suddenly it isn't close. Like, if you've got, like, a 1-1 baseball game, and then somebody scores 4 points in the 9th inning, you're like, well, this is a blowout now. How did this happen? That's, I think, what you're going for. So we'll check on that vibe afterwards if we even, like, get to this situation. But for now, I think it has to be, like, two different scores happen in the 2-minute warning or near it that make the Vikings win by, I'll say, 10-plus points. If they win by more than that, I would still give it to you if the vibe is right. And then the last one comes from Omar, who says that not one, but 2 Kirk Cousins rushing touchdowns. And not just any rushing touchdowns, but one has to be at least 5 yards out and the other has to be at least 10-plus yards out. Okay, love that as a parameter, but I don't need this to be a particularly difficult, like, I don't need this to be that specific, I guess. If one is, 6 yards out and the other is 8 yards out, I would still probably give this to you. I'm going to go more in spirit here, where these aren't going to be sneaks. These aren't going to be goal line, jet motion, naked bootleg, and Kirk Cousins walks in. These need to be, like, earned scramble runs, and they can be in the low red zone. They can even be both, you know, 5 yards and 5 yards, but they need to be like not schemed out for him or QB sneaks or like cheapo kind of ones that would give you the over in a 0.5 rushing yards Tom Brady prop, which is my favorite prop bet in all of sports, Tom Brady over 0.5 rushing yards, because he always gets a sneak always. You can't backdoor it that way. I'm not going to give you that. But I will give you, whether or not the yardage works out, I will give you if it's a true drop back, improvisational scramble, and it happens twice. We can sort of play it by spirit there, and I think that'll work. I love these bold predictions. You guys are getting so good at these. They're so much fun. If you have other bold predictions, some people will send me bold predictions in DMs, and I love it. I do. I almost never remember to check them for bold predictions. Because I don't log all of them. I only like pick the ones that I want and log them. Whereas Twitter Tuesday questions, I'll log it, send it to me however I'll see it. But yeah, wait for the prompt for bold predictions. Again, Monday is the next time we're going to talk. I'll be back on the normal setup by then, and I can't wait to talk to you. In the meantime, enjoy the Bears game. No matter what happens, we'll be back on Monday talking about it. I will see you all then. And as always, skull.